from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Oh, boy. The Oklahoma Sooners cleaned up a big-time prospect for 2025. And Texas isn't getting the sort of benefit that you might expect in the 2025 recruits from a team that just went to the CFP and is joining the SEC. What you're finding is a pretty competitive landscape. This is the college football kegger. So Michael Fasusi, who is the offensive tackle at Louisville High School, big-time blue-chip recruit, is leaving the state of Texas. He committed yesterday to Oklahoma over the Aggies and the Longhorns. And this aspect of the top recruits and where they're going in the state of Texas is a little frustrating to me as a Longhorns fan, because, you know, when Texas would struggle, you'd see sometimes...
Well, perfect timing for Carter to walk in with this OU victory. And by the way, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Saturday at 11 o'clock. Florida State, 10th in the nation.
Yeah, and that'll change pretty quickly when they see what DJ Uiagalelei actually looks like. So when you look at the state of Texas and some of the recruits that they had, Charlie Strong era was tough for the Longhorns in the state of Texas. Herman kind of brought things around, but it's still some struggles there. Sarkisian's done better, but man, this right now, you would think that they would have a bigger benefit in terms of a bigger bump competing here in the state of Texas. Of the top 15 prospects who have committed, so that's out of the state of Texas, the top 18, because there's some who are still uncommitted for 2025. But of the top 15 prospects that have committed so far, Texas has two of 24/7 Sports' top 15 Texas commits. There's also two committed to Ohio State, Oregon, Oklahoma, and Alabama, and then individual commitments to SMU, A&M, Michigan, Baylor, and Missouri. So it's a competitive landscape. It's one where Texas is going to have to, as much as you think going to the SEC will just start to pull in some guys, you're looking at Texas as a very national state where people recruit from. Other programs are dipping in here. Ohio State gets a lot of kids out of here. Bama has routinely taken place out of here. There was a long time, I'm surprised it hasn't kicked up again with Deion. There was a long time, about a decade ago, where Colorado scooped a lot of kids out of Texas.
Well, Deion would have to recruit in order for that to happen again.
Yeah, see, he doesn't. He just does the transfer portal.
Pat Doney, I think 1 week from today, will join us for the patented classic high school football preview for the entire state. Pat Doney, NBC5, will be joining us next week.
Now, the highest-ranked prospect.
We get Nick Harris to do it, too.
Nick Harris, big-time high school football guy. The highest-ranked prospect that Texas has gotten committed from the state is the number 12 overall player in the country, a wide receiver, Kalik Lockett. You know what school he goes to, Sean?
Nope.
Sachse High School, where we will be tomorrow, the home of Kalik Lockett, 5805 Bryan Street, for the Firehouse Tour there in Sachse. But Kalik Lockett, that is their big-time prospect that they have. I might have to get out to Sachse again to kind of get eyes on the future there at the University of Texas. But
if you see a yellow sweatshirt up in the corner of a bleacher with no one around him, that's Bobby Skouten on a Friday night.
No, it'll be shirtless with sexy colors painted all over me. And
it's not softball season.
I'm going to be going in there with war paint, baby. Like that's what I'm going in for the games in Sachse.
Get their equipment stolen like you did poor Keller.
Yeah, I shouldn't have taken shots at the cartel while they were still out there.
Probably a Bobby Belt fan hater who went and stole these poor girls' equipment because they hate your guts.
337s, just like I'm going to Midland.
Spray paints 337 on all the bags, the equipment gear.
Fat Mahomes, as they're calling him, Dylan Raiola, who is the highest graded recruit in the history of ESPN's grade from 2006 on. Dylan Raiola is the highest graded recruit to ever go to Nebraska to commit. Nebraska, which is obviously a school with three Heisman winners, they've won five national titles. They've still got, it's hard to remember because they've been down for so long. That was a prestigious program, for a long time. That was a job Mike Zimmer almost left as defensive coordinator of the Cowboys to go take in 2004, I believe. He was a finalist for the Nebraska job.
Imagine Mike Zimmer recruiting high school kids.
He got it offered.
You want to play or not?
He had the job offered to him. He turned it down, actually, to come back to Dallas. But Nebraska, they get their highest recruit in the history of ESPN's rankings of recruits going back to 2006. Dylan Raiola, who is a five-star quarterback, the son of Dominic Raiola, the old offensive lineman. And he's got a chance to be one of the big stars of the NIL era because he comes from an NFL pedigree. He's being hyped as the savior of what is a pretty prestigious program that's been down on its luck, the Matt Rhule connection. And he's already become this viral star for things like his Oakleys and his hair and everything else that makes him look like Patrick Mahomes. And then playing dumb and going, I didn't even know who's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. What are you talking about?
If you look at him in a jersey and uniform too, it looks just like Mahomes.
Yeah, he wears 15.
Yeah.
Like he's clearly trying to be Mahomes, but he's somebody who they are really hyped about. Most people have him on their preseason freshman All-American team.
What school did he play at? Where did he come from? Do you know?
I don't remember what high school that he was at. Because I'm
like, man, someone big time to be choosing Nebraska to go play for quarterback. Matt Rhule.
He's a legacy guy, so his family historically has gone to Nebraska.
Well, look, Pat Mahomes is in the news and the headlines because of someone named Daryl Doucette. And Daryl Doucette is a flag football quarterback, and he has sent the message out to NFL players. Y'all still need to try out if you want to be on Team USA in Los Angeles when flag football is going to be played. And this is Daryl Doucette talking to TMZ, explaining why if Pat Mahomes tries out, he'll be Trey Lance.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Okay. Allow me to defend him real quick.
Oh, gosh.
Mahomes came back with the 50 Cent meme like, what? Huh? The 50 Cent Floyd meme. Allow me to defend him just for a second. Did you ever watch the flag football stuff on NFL Network a few years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. It is a different, and it was a different style of play. It's not just like regular NFL drop back football. So I think from like a scheme / style knowledge standpoint, I can see where he's coming from and defend him a little bit. And there was a point in time when I don't know whether they ever went up against some NFL players, but I was thinking you could put a couple NFL players out here until they got used to it, until they got used to the style of play that flag football was on NFL Network when they put it out there. And I think the NFL guys could possibly lose, like in the first game, just because it is a different way to play. So from that standpoint, I can see where he's coming from. But of course, everyone is destroying this 35-year-old for saying he's better than Mahomes. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but rightfully so. You got to destroy him for saying he's Mahomes. I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Did you watch it and be like, whoa, this is different.
Yeah,
just drop back. Let me find the guy. Like, it was heavily coordinated.
It's a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand it's a different game, but it's still Patrick Mahomes. And like we've seen, Patrick Mahomes doesn't play the game the way everybody else in the NFL plays it either. And so I think he could adapt. I trust that. But Dylan Raiola here, if he's really good right out of the gate, this is going to be one of the...
You're talking about the Nebraska kid now.
Yeah. If he's really good right out of the gate, he's going to be one of the names we hear about a lot this year. Like he's going to be easy for the national media to kind of coalesce around and say, all right, this is one of the guys that we're propping up as a big-time name and a big-time star here in college football. College football kegger here on 105 Through the Fan. ESPN has released their top projections for the CFP, the 12 teams that they think will end up in the college football playoff. This is from Kyle Bonagura and Mark Schlabach over at ESPN. And if you look at the expanded field, a lot of people have said this is going to open things up to more unpredictability. It's going to make things more competitive. You're going to have a bunch of different games. It may take the individual game, the weight of an individual game, it may kind of take the juice out of that. But overall, you're going to get more games over time that have more intensity to them. And you're going to get a more competitive playoff run. Not if ESPN is to be believed. With their projections, they have the same national title game, Ohio State versus Georgia. And out of the 12 teams that they've projected, even though they're ranked a little differently, or maybe they have one team in a spot ahead of another, they have the exact same top nine teams projected in the CFP.
The exact same nine.
Now, again, it's something where you could have a, maybe they have like the ninth team for one guy is the sixth for another, but they've all got the same nine. They've all got the same top four, actually. But if you look at it, so those nine teams that they have, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Alabama, Oregon, Utah, Florida State, Ohio State, Georgia. So those nine, slam dunk, and then the three behind that is where you're really looking at some different names. Ole Miss, Miami, Clemson, Arizona, Boise State, some different names that they're throwing out there as potentially being involved here. But if this is the way it is, like if we're looking at the end of this year and we're able to pretty accurately predict the top 10 of the 12, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Because I feel like the whole point of the top four was you didn't have as easy a grasp on it because it was so narrow. You didn't know how some of these top teams jockey.
Are we going to say in the same breath preseason rankings don't matter? Because if we do, then who cares the way that they rank them?
Yeah, but I mean,
And this is why you expand the playoff as well.
For the unpredictability of the back end of it?
And get more in it so that we're just not, okay, everyone knows who it's going to be. Let's just go ahead and fast forward to the final four.
So here's my biggest hang up with expanding the playoff is that the top five teams in the country, for instance, let's say the tier one, it's the top five teams. I feel like if you jump down to team 15, there is a massive gap between who team five and team 15 are.
Yes.
That I don't know that we're going to get competitive games early.
Right.
And it's going to end up essentially being a 16 playoff anyway.
Hell, for the beginning, like 4-1 was beat down.
Yeah.
Like the first round games, there was a big, massive point disparity.
We had a national title game a couple years ago that was a big, massive point disparity because of that. So there are such levels to it. Like you can easily see at some point during the year a 1-14 matchup. And that 1-14 may lead to a 30-point victory. Because it's just that's the kind of discrepancies we're talking about between these teams. So if Boise State, like, is listed on one of these lists here, if Boise State really is the 12th team in the country, are they going to be able to hang with Oregon? Like, or is Memphis going to be able to hang with Oregon? Or are we going to be looking at blowouts there where we're like, okay, well, what was the point of this?
Because we'll hype it up for television as another quote-unquote playoff game.
I guess that's what we're looking
for. And we can stop the crying and the whining over Florida State. As Paul Feinbaum has been repeating all offseason.
Feinbaum
has. There you go. You got in.
Feinbaum cannot let that go. There's a bunch of people.
Oh, he let go RG3, though.
There's a bunch of people who have Alabama ties last year that are still sour and petty. Like, when you hear them talking about Florida State and the way Florida State reacted.
Were you defending Florida State?
Yeah, I was. I was. Because I remember I was anti-Alabama in general all last year. I thought Alabama was being given way too much credit. That's not dug in. I was correct. Texas whooped their ass, and that's all that matters. So I was correct. And that's your college football kegger.
There it is. RJ Choppy will be back on Monday. He is out in Gaylord, Michigan, the Gaylord Golf Mecca, hacking and swinging away. Thanks for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Protect your animals, please. Protect your animals, and Bobby thinks he finally has a solution for my anger problem. That's next, along with a B-Lo.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, the belt without Brian Broaddus right here on The Fan.
2-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And that ball is hit back up the middle. Base knock for Wyatt Langford. Coming in to score is Ezekiel Duran. Langford with the walk-off hit. And the Rangers win it by the final score of 1-0. They take their first series win since late July. And they'll go on the road with a W.
How will Below the Belt survive and decline without Brian Broaddus from Oxnard?
Ratings about to shoot up.
Find out at 8:40. I'm keeping an eye on the YouTube number count. Compared to the last few days, Broaddus has been owning the YouTube page with these views as well. Just crushing it, killing it. And thanks to Sagamore Whiskey for keeping him out there. It's Sean Sharif and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Carter in the back. Tomorrow, we will be in Sachse as the Firehouse Tour continues, starting at 6 o'clock with a 105 Through the Fan brand new flask.
5805 Bryan Street. We'll be hanging out there in Sachse from 6 to 10 a.m. I've already got a tweet saying, 6 a.m. Is that going to be too late to get there? Do I need to get there any earlier? Like, are these things crowded? They are. We do have a pretty sizable group usually right at the start of the show.
Yes.
So I would say if you want to make sure you get one, then yeah, 6 a.m. is probably good. But again, we'll have Palmer's Hot Chicken out there. While we're out there, we'll have a lot of fun, and it'll be a good time. So come on out.
This was pretty cool yesterday. Jared Sandler, who joined us an hour ago to talk about lack of Ranger anger at this follow-up season after the championship, he tweeted, caught up with Aroldis Chapman with Pittsburgh in town. Told him that if he strikes someone out, instead of staring down a Ranger, he should just stare at the World Series banner. His response, and I don't want this used against me with a soundbite down the road. Ha ha, I like it, Poppy. Let's do it. So yesterday, Aroldis Chapman does it. Chapman's sitting there pitching, gets the strikeout, looks at the banner. Rangers end up getting the win. Win-win.
Turns around, gets that nice stare in there.
Look at Jared with the viral Texas Ranger ideas. Creed. And now Aroldis Chapman staring at the banner.
Yeah, and also not trading any veterans at the deadline, also his idea. And so he gets a lot of credit for all three of those things. But it was cool that Aroldis listened to it, remembered it, and was like, all right, I'm going to break this out in the game.
And Jared had said earlier in the week, Pirates in town means the Rangers can celebrate Aroldis. Chapman's Rangers teammates adored him. Also worth noting that they knew then what we later found out, which is that Aroldis was pitching hurt. So I did not know that before Jared's tweet.
Did not know it either. It obviously looked like it at times during those runs, the home run given up to Altuve in game 5 and some of the struggles with the control. But it's good to have the confirmation, and credit to Aroldis for battling it out, knowing he was going to be a free agent and knowing that You know, it wasn't even necessarily like he had long-term plans here.
This year, he's got a 3.21 ERA with 76 strikeouts and a 1.30 whip. So just in case you were wondering, should we have let him get away? That's what Aroldis is doing in Pittsburgh. All right, Roberto, where do you want to take it between my anger problem, the animals, or afraid to tell your spouse who you're voting for?
Let's start with the spouse. So this was a...
Stayed up again late last night for the one Tolo who was interested in what I think politically. Stayed up way too late again. Oh, man. I was expecting more from Bill. Bill almost put me to sleep. But then I woke back up with the vice president candidate with his speech at the end. They had John Legend performing Prince to get walls ready on stage. They had Oprah Winfrey. And I'm trying to remember who else was out there at the DNC.
Probably Steve Kerr again or somebody else like that. That's typically the lineup for nights like that.
Honestly, my favorite thing right now is, I can't remember his name, if it's Scott or Chris. I like watching the CNN coverage, and I like they brought in a Republican strategist because obviously, in my opinion, CNN dislikes Trump. They're way more leaning left. So they
going out on a limb there, to quote Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, so I think it's just like anything. They brought in someone to try to balance it, and it's this one guy. He sits all the way to the right, and he's just always battling the three or four other people on CNN, and I really watch it for that. The pregame and the postgame. It's like the NBA on TNT. I'm watching the pre, I'm watching the post to watch this one dude who is on the right battle the rest of CNN.
Well, you know who isn't allowed to watch that last night, that same coverage that you did, Sean? It's married women, apparently, according to Salon. Salon had a big commentary over at their website this week. The big question touching a nerve this election: can my husband find out who I'm voting for? November may come down to a battle between controlling men and women who just want their freedom, according to Salon. So Salon says there's basically this epidemic, and political analysts are concerned about this epidemic of Trump-supporting husbands with Kamala-supporting wives, and the wives are too afraid to tell their husbands who support Trump that they want to vote for Kamala, that they're, you know, walking around in their bonnets, too afraid of their husbands.
Bobby.
I mean, you've noticed that, right? Like all the Trump supporters that you know, Sean, like all of their wives wear bonnets and no makeup, and they don't drive cars. They know nothing of the outside world, right?
Dude, this is why I prefer to have RJ here for these topics. He has a perfect balance.
Sean here
knows how to walk the line. Scott Jennings is the guy on CNN. By the way,
I'm perfectly balanced. I'm not gonna put up with in either direction. Like when Hulk Hogan stands up there and starts going to my hero, I'm gonna say that's silly. When somebody writes an article saying, "Oh, all the fearful women who are afraid of their Trump supporter," shut up. No, that's not. You're creating a fake thing that doesn't. We have enough real issues that nobody agrees on and fight over.
So you don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. Like, is there some people who this is a real thing for? Probably. Is it a mass thing of like, man, the election might be decided on whether women feel like they can tell their husbands who they voted for? No.
Do you dismiss the idea of some women changing their minds now that Biden is out?
I never dismiss women changing their minds.
Seriously. Do you dismiss the notion that a decent amount of women have changed their minds now that Biden is out and Kamala is the candidate?
I think anybody who changed their mind didn't flip from, well, I was picking Trump over Biden, now I'm picking Kamala over Trump. It was like they were abstaining and now they're voting for Kamala, I would think. I don't think that if there was a woman who wasn't going to vote for Trump, isn't going to vote for Trump right now, I don't think she was voting for him 2 months ago, really. And so,
and the idea and the notion that the woman is afraid of the man versus like the man afraid of the woman
that,
in the house.
Yeah, that I don't buy a lick of, is the idea that there's like this mass, like that there's a mushy middle. Like we're talking, Salon is talking about these people as if they are the same size as independent voters. Like when we talk about independent voters swinging the election every time, they're saying this will swing the election. Do they have the confidence to punch that ballot and confidently tell their husbands, I ran afoul of you,
yeah,
and I voted for who I wanted for? Women's suffrage, baby.
The only way that they can feel safe is in the privacy of the voting booth.
Like, I guess so.
Yes, I can do what I want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly what it is. Another story. Let's fix your anger issue, Sean. You got a lot of them.
No,
okay?
I don't.
Not anymore. Not that you had a daughter. Now that you have a daughter, you're in a better spot.
Big hearts, Bobby.
Exactly. Small hands, big heart. I'm already seeing that Sean's softening a little bit.
What do you think? Do you agree with that? I don't agree with him.
That you've changed?
Yeah.
No, you're still the same.
Okay.
Same nice person.
Thank you. I didn't even want the dot, dot, dot. I didn't want the fill in the blank at the end.
Anger is a necessary component of success, Sean Sharif.
Bam!
So researchers have found, this is over at SciPost.org, researchers have found that anger helped participants solve difficult anagrams quicker than those that they monitored with neutral emotions. So those who got pissed off and kind of frustrated by it and tapped into a little bit of that anger, it allowed them to level up, find something new. So I'd also like to say that whenever Chop tries to say, there's no such thing as somebody being clutch or somebody doing this or that, this right here tells you that, like, your emotions can affect your performance and make you better and help you solve something better. It says anger is theorized to arise when goals are obstructed and promote behaviors that help overcome these obstacles. In this work, Heather C. Lynch and colleagues examined whether anger improves goal attainment in challenging situations. And what they found in a group of 233 undergraduate students who were randomly assigned to one of five emotional conditions, anger, neutral, amusement, desire, and sadness, anger came out on top consistently as the one that pushed them over the top.
Bam.
Well done, Sean.
See?
So that's what we need. We all need to be Mike and Sean. That's what we need to be. We need to have the rage element to be able to tap into
it. Oh, Bassick?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta not all the time, but you gotta have the element to tap into it from time to time.
I don't like to be put in the same anger category as Mike. Mike is moody. Mike is a lot moodier than I am. My wife would say he's really nice and sweet just until he's not. And I feel like, and we all probably feel like this is the way we justify it, I only like snap and get mad when it's caused, when it's justifiable.
It's warranted.
When you get mad, I mean?
It's 99% of the time I'd say it's warranted.
Okay, thanks.
There is 1% of the time where I'm like, okay, come on, Sean, you're being a little bit of a baby. Like let it go.
When's the last time?
I'm trying to think. No, maybe one of the ones where it's
we're talking on or off air?
On air, probably. Okay. Like maybe one of the ones where you get frustrated about me having a real opinion and you think I'm digging in.
Okay.
Where I'm like, this is just me. You should know I'm not going to troll. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
What I do is I give my real opinions, yeah, and that's what it is.
I think also my tone can be much more aggressive.
It's like Chobby says, he reads all your texts like, where are we with the guests?
Yes, we still need to do that weekly text review to see whether it was actually anger or not.
So would you next like, we're going to go to animals now.
Yeah.
Monkeys or fish?
Let's go with fish. I'm thinking about having that for dinner.
All right.
Not after this.
Let's talk about some fish on fish crime, as you learned in Crosstalk yesterday. There is a woman in court. She's in front of a court in Australia, a magistrate in Australia, facing criminal charges after she went viral a couple years ago, and allegedly viral. I've never seen this video, and it's a good thing I haven't, because I would be in possession of something illegal, it sounds like. A 58-year-old woman is in front of a magistrate's court in Australia for allowing a live fish, a brown trout, to become one with her, we'll say.
Oh, this is the fish reference y'all were teaching me about yesterday.
Yes, yes, gentlemen. So a live fish on a boat appeared to just, you know, kind of be a little too close to her.
Yeah, squirmy.
Yeah, a little too one with her. And she is now facing charges and being faced with years worth of prison time.
Dang.
Over possessing of a bestiality product between February 2022 and January 2023.
You can get jail time for doing that with a fish?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people apparently who have seen this video. because there were a lot. When I saw the story on Reddit, and people were like, "Oh yeah, that was a wild video. I remember seeing that." And so it was alive apparently too. It was alive and thrashing about.
Dang. Well, why would you have it dead?
Yeah, isn't that a criticism of dead fish?
And then the monkeys.
Yeah, this is. I had no idea this was a thing. BBC had this story. There's a woman now facing 20 years of prison time for her part in a monkey torture network, which is a thing I never knew existed. But BBC blew this case open a couple years ago. There's like this underground dark web existence of like 300 people, a lot of them here in the US. It was like a Telegram chat or a Discord server run by somebody in Alabama, a grandmother in Georgia.
Dang.
And like all these different people. And what it was they were coordinating with people in Indonesia to like film torture videos of monkeys and then sell
them. Letting them fight each other or torturing them?
No, like an individual monkey. Like, hey, do this to the monkey. Do that. And they were paying like hundreds of dollars for these movies. And this is one of these women who is behind it. A 56-year-old woman in the UK.
Behind the scam, not the monkey.
Was behind running it.
Yeah.
And so she had set the whole thing up and she's now facing 20 years in prison. And man, this
20 years. I hope she gets a lot more years than the fish girl, the fish person. Dude,
I would think so. But this is like, you look through BBC blew this open a year ago. When you read through the details of it, it is twisted some of the stuff these people wanted done. And it made
no sense. Want to see the monkey torture.
Yeah. And like, it was, and they would pay hundreds of dollars to see this. I'm like, who's like, where is that where you go, this is what I want to see? Like, I had no idea this was a whole network. But they're like, no, this is like a common thing of people who just, this sounds like a psychopath. This is the person who's going to take a step to like killing people. And that's where it's one of those where good thing they blew this thing up.
Are the Cowboys in trouble in the trenches, even with the addition last night of Linval Joseph? That's next in Below the Belt on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're
not. Over to you, Bobby.
If football is a game played in the trenches, just how screwed might the Cowboys be? Let's talk about it. So the Cowboys made an addition yesterday. They signed Linval Joseph to a deal that's worth up to $4 million. Defensive tackle, veteran who's been around the league for a dozen years. And a guy who the Cowboys have been hesitant on in the past because of his limited scope, the things that he can do to really affect the game. He is a big space filler, a one technique defensive tackle who his entire job is to take on blockers and free up linebackers. He's not going to make a bunch of splash plays. He's not going to knife through the line of scrimmage and make a big play. That is not Linval Joseph's game.
35 years old, and the PFF ranking last year was not good at a 38.8. I don't think Mike Zimmer cares about that very much. 14th NFL season. Cowboys are his 7th team.
6'4", 330 pounds. This is a big boy.
Yeah.
And you had asked me last year before the season, like, how are we going to, what will progress look like for Mozzie Smith? And I had said at the time, progress for Mozzie Smith, you're probably not going to notice. Because when you notice him, it'll probably be bad. And when you don't notice him, it's probably better. And you're going to notice, what you're going to see is, if you see the linebackers playing better than you expected, that's evidence that Mozzie Smith is doing his job. And that's going to be the same situation with Linval Joseph here. If the linebackers play better, if you see the linebackers getting free runs where they're able to just shoot through the line of scrimmage and make a play, that means Linval Joseph probably did his job and kept things under wraps. That's still a little bit of a concerning issue, though, that Linval Joseph, they felt the need to add him and Jordan Phillips and sign Al-Qadeen Muhammad and Carl Loss. You've signed several defensive linemen in the last 2-3 weeks. That would seem to signal some level of panic about what you are in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
And a little bit concerning. I do think Linval Joseph will be productive. He's not quite the player he once was, but his productivity is not going to be something you'll notice. But for $4 million, that at least sounds like he's your starting defensive tackle now at the one technique.
Here is my question, my fan text question for everyone at 877-881-1053, brought to you by Frank LaFranco Injury Attorneys. Which ranking will be higher this year? The Dallas Cowboys rush offense or the Dallas Cowboys rush defense? Now, before you answer that, guess where they finished in yards per game rushing last year in the league?
Yards per game, not yards per attempt?
Yards per game.
They finished 12th.
14th. Where do they finish run defense allowed yards per game?
22nd.
17th. So, well done, Peyton. So, 14 and 17. This year, will they have a higher rush ranking offense or run stopping defense?
I'm going to say that the run defense will be better.
I would too.
I trust, if everybody's healthy, I think I trust the Cowboys offensive line to be better in the run game than I trust the Cowboys defensive line. But every other component of the run game, I trust the defense above the offense.
Okay.
So I'm going to trust the linebackers and the guys coming up playing the box for the safeties that they're going to have a greater impact in stopping the run than the running backs are in generating yards. But I think that the offensive line is set up to, if everything is healthy, if you've got Terrence Steele back, recovered where he needs to be, Tyler Guyton is where he's at, then I think you've got a chance to block things up pretty well and have success in the run game. It's just how much are you going to be able to get without any backs in that room that have any sort of juice. Now, it's not just a question of the defensive line. This is a trenches question and a concern about the trenches. Because we jump over to the offensive line. Center is the quarterback of the offensive line. We still don't know who's going to be calling the offense. They haven't made up their mind on it. I think healthy competition is a good thing.
What do you mean they haven't made up their mind with calling the offense?
In terms of who's going to be helping to call, make checks at the line of scrimmage as the center.
Okay.
Like not calling the plays.
Yeah.
But when you look at that, the fact that center isn't settled, competition is good. Competition is healthy. I don't know that you want to be heading into the regular season still figuring out, okay, who are we starting at center?
Yeah.
That's one of the positions I wouldn't think you'd want to have instability at. So that's a question. Terrence Steele, though he's had a good camp, you mentioned earlier, Mike McCarthy said yesterday, one of the best camp that he's had since he's been here. Is Terrence Steele back to who he was in 2022, which was one of the probably five best run blocking right tackles in football, like an elite run blocker? Is he back or is he still struggling like he did last year? Tyler Smith, I'm not worried about. Zach Martin, not worried about. The only concern I would have with Zach Martin is as he ages, it's not even decline. It's more he's been getting hurt more consistently. Maybe a little bit of a concern with that. But Tyler Guyton, what kind of a player is Tyler Guyton? And more specifically, right now the question would be, how healthy is Tyler Guyton? After news comes out yesterday that Tyler Guyton had to remove himself from practice due to knee soreness. And it's not the same sort of concern I would have when Brandon Cooks went out, which again was also not considered a big deal. But Brandon Cooks, it uses his lower body. It's his speed. That's where he wins. And Cooks is aging into his 30s, is going to be a guy who those issues don't tend to get better. So a knee soreness thing can crop up here, and that can tend to linger. Guyton, being as young as he is, I wouldn't think that would be as much of an issue. But still, if somebody feels the need to pull themselves out of practice with as little tackle depth as they have, that's a concerning spot for the Cowboys to be in.
We will ask Nick Harris. He was there at 9:20. He was there. Very disheartening text messages from Carter Freeman saying, look at the fan cam, look at the numbers. I thought this would plummet. Now that Brian Broaddus is not joining us from Cali every single morning, below the belt raised the fan cam viewer count by 50.
Boom.
So that's Bobby not failing today.
Because people thought Broaddus was on. That's
yes.
I think we made it very clear in the segment yesterday that he wouldn't be, Peyton. I think we made that very clear. By the way, tomorrow, where we'll be out in Sachse, 5805 Bryan Street for the Firehouse Tour starting at 6 a.m. But this is something where I'm starting to, the lack of depth at tackle is starting to get really concerning for the Cowboys on the offensive side of the ball. You have Terrence Steele right now. I mean, Josh Ball is healthy, but what do you have in Ball?
No.
Willetsko's healthy. You're not confident in Willetsko at all.
Nope.
The pure tackles that they have on the roster that are healthy, it's Terrence Steele right now with the knee soreness on Tyler Guyton. And Tyler Guyton has missed a lot of time at this point.
House of cards.
It is. And that's one of those things. Are you going to feel Is this team's success more tied, forget just the run game, is this team's success more tied to the defensive line being stable or the offensive line being stable?
Offensive line.
I think if the offensive line is bad, this is a significantly below 500 team.
Significantly
below. If they are bad.
We need to, or hurt, we need to talk about the reality of Dak Prescott having his worst rushing offense of his career. Because Broadus always talks about the pass attempts. Like, how many pass attempts do you want Dak to have? Any great quarterback, you don't want him sitting there up in the 50s and 60s because law of averages, you're going to turn it over, you're going to throw picks. So I went and looked at this while I was on the yards per game stats of the last 5 years of the Cowboys rushing offense per game. 6 years. 14th last year, and then I'll just go backwards. 9, 9, 17, 5, 10. So is this going to be, 17 is pretty bad, is this going to be the worst rushing offense that Dak Prescott has ever been given? I think many of us right now would lean towards yes. Even more pressure on him then. Even more pressure with the contract. Getting up to speed with CeeDee Lamb. Offensive line, head coach, all the usual BS surrounding this football team and the circus. So that's something I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. What is this running back committee and O-line situation going to do to Dak Prescott?
Yeah, and it will likely have some sort of impact.
Trey Lance to just run around for the bad O-line, cover up their mistakes.
This is why gadget player there, Trey Lance. He can do a lot of different things for you. He's the Swiss Army knife. Let him be Taysom Hill. Don't be afraid to say he's Taysom Hill.
What'd you say, Peyton? Was that Peyton? Move on. That was Dak. Sorry. I'm not used to hearing Dak on the radio with us.
Over on the fan text really quickly, before I start, I wanted to answer this because this is my bad. 817 asking what is one technique, and I know a lot of people don't know what that means when you hear that. One technique is a style of defensive tackle. So when you hear somebody say three technique, that means they are positioned on the outside shoulders of the guards. The one technique is on the outside shoulder of the center. So that's the nose tackle. That's the guy over the ball, basically the nose guard.
One technique, just thinking like the big fat guy is supposed to stand there and eat up space. And the three technique, Warren Sapp, get to the pass rusher, a more athletic, explosive fat guy.
Three techniques.
Is that fair?
Three techniques trying to get upfield. One technique is trying to eat space and create things for other people. To the point of how it could affect Dak, look, I think we've seen at this point, if CeeDee Lamb's here, if Brandon Cooks is who we think Brandon Cooks is, if Jalen Tolbert is taking a leap, I think that Dak dropping back and this being kind of an aired out offense, I think they can have success with that, but it's not going to...
Game management. Got to manage the game. He could put up even more stupid and silly numbers.
And that's
I don't think it is necessarily healthy for the football team with wins and losses.
Right. I think that...
All right, so last year, he had 590 pass attempts. Will he have more? And you got to factor in, 590, I think, was limited by a lot of blowouts that they had.
Yeah, I'll say he has more.
Two years ago, he had 596. He said 590 or 596 three times in his career.
So he had 2 years ago. That was the 21 season.
Yeah, basically the same identical stats.
So, but the other season where he would have thrown 596, that would have been in a year where
that
he played.
That was 2019.
2019. Okay, so that was years back. Okay, because I was looking at it as if he threw 596. Yeah, in 21, he threw 596. He didn't even play a full, he played one fewer game than he did last year. So he had more attempts and fewer games in 21. So I think it sets up to where he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. And the Cowboys, just at this point, they clearly are in a little bit of a state of panic with both sides of the trenches.
Good numbers. Good numbers. Even without Brian Broaddus carrying you today in Below the Belt here with our Cowboys insider. The nails are getting painted. No cursing allowed. And what was Nick Eatman's weather clue when it came to Dak Prescott yesterday? Final Hour Thursday edition is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.